Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Engage Employee Examples of Excellence podcast. Today, we're excited to bring you insights from Kath Goodson, Luke Matthew Iverson, and Will Proctor, each a specialist in their field, with a passion for creating workplaces where everyone can thrive. First up, we have Luke Matthew Iverson, Director of DEI at 41. Luke works with clients to integrate diversity, equity and inclusion at every level, building environments where employees feel empowered to bring their whole selves to work. We'll also hear from Kath Goodson, Global Client Development Director at 41. Kath plays a key role in welcoming new clients and setting the foundation for strong collaborative partnerships from day one. Her focus on understanding client needs ensures a smooth onboarding experience and lasting impact. Finally, we welcome Will Proctor, Director of Strategy and Innovation at Nazaray, with over 20 years' experience in digital learning. Will is dedicated to helping clients tackle complex strategic challenges and is known for crafting innovative, performance-driven learning solutions.
The focus of this podcast is about the influence managers have on the motivation of their teams. We will discuss the importance of organisations investing in the right training to build managers' capabilities, as well as supporting managers with difficult conversations through inclusive interactions. Because, of course, managers are throughout all of the organisations that we work with, whether a manager of one, a full team, deskless workers, to remote workers, even multi-locations. Building better manager interactions is a topic we often discuss with our clients and is a key motivational lever that we've identified in our recent report on the motivation in the workplace. We published a report this year with behavioural science-led research conducted with over 2,600 employees aged 20 to 79 from large organisations in the UK and the US. Whilst there is no one-size-fits-all approach to build motivation within an organisation, the data in our report suggests the argument that satisfying three basic human needs, autonomy, mastery and relatedness, provides an effective route to increasing motivation in the workplace. We call these the motivation foundations. In addition, all organisations have at their disposal a range of motivational levers to establish and bolster the foundations for motivation across the employee experience, and in turn drive positive organisation outcomes. These are internal communications, learning and development, purpose and values, working experiences, and of course, manager interactions. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So let's explore manager interactions in more detail. Luke, I'm coming to you first. Why are manager interactions such a critical lever for employee motivation?
Yeah, I think thinking about those levers, manager interactions are probably the most nuanced. Managers aren't just there to keep the day-to-day running or to delegate tasks. They're the ones who are able to shape how employees feel about work and their work experiences, as they're the closest to employees, which means they have a huge influence on whether people feel trusted, whether they feel valued, motivated, and part of something bigger. And if managers miss the mark, it does impact employee motivation. But if they get it right, it gives autonomy, shows trust, and makes people feel more connected as part of an organization. And they can unlock so much creativity and commitment from their employees. It's not, as I said at the beginning, just about doing those tasks. It's about creating that environment where people want to show up and do their best.
Great. What about you, Will?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So there's that sort of commonly accepted phrase that people leave managers, not organisations, which isn't quite true, is it? There are many other factors that contribute to it, one of which is managers. But I think why the relationship with the manager is sort of disproportionately important, as it were, is that it spans across so many other things. So if you think of the other things people look for, sort of career development, growth, a lot of those are things that a manager will participate in, especially if you're working to a learning model like sort of 70-20-10, the manager is going to help with more development than the sort of formal learning provision of the organization. So you've got that sort of outsized impact there. And again, going back to the Business of Motivation report, it's clear that motivation, it's not sort of static or uniform. And what that means is having a sort of workforce of competent, really flexible managers who are able to adopt their approach to the needs of the individual is going to set organizations up really well to have motivated staff, and also to deliver on the business that they need to deliver on as well.
Yeah. And well, from a learning and capabilities perspective, what do managers really need to know or develop to have a real impact on their team's motivation?
Yeah, another interesting one, Kat. So part of the challenge with managers is that most managers, when they step into the role, firstly, they're really unprepared for it. Secondly, thinking of their motivation, a lot of them don't do it because they want to be managing people. If you think of how organizations are set up, it's a sort of natural step up that people sort of have to take if they're going to progress their career. And as such, they often don't know what they need to do. It's not clear to new managers. And people tend to overestimate how good they are at this kind of thing as well. So giving people a really clear picture of what good looks like to start with, and then helping them develop the self-awareness to honestly assess themselves against that is a really important first step. Ideally with feedback from other people as well, because generally humans are pretty terrible at self-assessing their skills there. And a way to get in there is could be starting with the challenges they know they have already. So if you look at a lot of research on the challenges managers have, people find it difficult having those difficult conversations. That's a standout across most of the research. Managing conflict, something sometimes influencing others, persuading, these kind of core things that people know they need to deal with. And then helping them build the skills they need to overcome those challenges. And there are some key skills there, like active listening, coaching, general emotional intelligence, which can be, they can seem like a bit of a jumble, these things. So putting them in clear buckets so people have the vocabulary to talk about the skills they're building is really useful. And organizations can do that themselves, create a mental model that really works for the employees. If a manager was doing it for themselves, without that support from the organization, there's a really neat piece of research by Mindtools that puts them in sort of buckets. So you've got like the motivation bucket, which has inclusive leadership, recognition, and trust. There's developing people, which is around active listening, guidance, and coaching. Emotional intelligence has self-awareness, sort of, as I mentioned earlier, social sensitivity, empathy, and then sort of nuts and bolts around setting expectations, thinking about transparent communication, goal setting, and delegation. When you think about sort of transparent communications as well, there's being honest about what the organization is doing, but how you communicate is really important there. So transparent, it's only transparent if the other person understands it, right? So you're doing it in a really accessible way, again, super important. And then
And I think,
point about
go
sort of
ahead.
mapping those levers back to the business of motivation. Again, we go back to sort of manager interactions are really obvious, but those other levers like internal comms, as sort of Luke mentioned earlier, sometimes the managers are kind of the mouthpiece for the organization and learning development, really important.
Yeah, and I think it was about attention to detail, really. And actually, when we saw that things like internal comms was done brilliantly and authentically, and had a voice about it, that was where we really saw those motivation changes. So, look, I'm sure you've got an opinion on that in terms of, how managers can get involved with those types of other levers that we're talking about within the report.
Yeah, I think, as Will said, managers can act as that mouthpiece for the organization. As they are the closest to employees, they're often delegated from leaders themselves to cascade that information. And I think sometimes it's really easy to fall into kind of focusing just on that task, not in terms of the delivery. And we all know that people will, as Will said, consume content and information in different ways. And I think it's really important for managers to understand their teams, whether, as we said up front, it's just a team of one or a team of 100, and really think about how they deliver those internal communications to their team so that they resonate. It's not going to just work as a one size fits all.
Yeah, that's really, and hearing you talk about that, Luke, I realize I maybe didn't phrase it right, saying the mouthpiece of the organization, because there's the listening side as well, isn't there? That's like if you have managers who are really deeply engaged with their teams, listening to them, feeding back to the organization, it's a really rich source of intelligence as to what's working, and what's not.
Building those two-way channels, yeah.
Brilliant. And it sounds like when you were kind of reeling off, Will, all the things that managers need to do, it could maybe sound a little overwhelming, right? And almost, you know, like, I'm sure you could help us with some examples of how organisations might approach developing some of these capabilities that you talked about at the start.
Yeah, you're right, Catherine. It's like we ask more and more of our managers. Everyone wants to outsource them things to them, whether it's sort of HR conversations, whether it's learning, whether it's them being sort of operating as little independent franchise owners. They've got a lot on their plates. So thinking about how to develop them, well, tapping into their motivation is really important as well. So going back to the business of motivation report, if you cut the data between sort of managers and non-managers, you generally see actually they're more motivated around the kind of key types of enjoyment, meaning, identity, financial and social. So being able to tap into that at the beginning, understanding why they, what makes them tick essentially, and then relate effective management to that is going to make them more motivated to do it, make it more relevant to them and their personal goals as well. And then there's this thing of sort of creating a toolkit of skills and really tangible things that solve a problem for them. Because it's all well and good to talk about these concepts like active listening, these kind of things that can be quite abstract. But if you say, look, this is about, you have one-to-ones with your team once a week, you can get so much more out of it by doing it this way. Even here's a framework to get you started. Once people see the evidence that it works, then they're going to go on to sort of build the sort of more the finer points around it. So making it really tangible. And this other idea of, by doing that, not adding to their to-do list. So my colleague Matthew talks about this thing of taking things off the to-do list. If your learning activity can be something where they go, oh great, that solved the problem, that's one less thing for me to do, I'm actually doing that thing anyway, that's going to be really a really good way of in engaging them.
Yeah, so real life examples, so training as you go almost is probably quite a big thing here as well. So, and one of those things you mentioned around was about having those difficult conversations, I guess, and being inclusive about those as well. So, look, I know obviously we talk a lot about this in terms of from an employee engagement and DEI perspective, how do inclusive manager interactions contribute to sustained employee motivation?
Yeah, I think just to echo what Will said around managers having a lot on their plates, you know, outside of their day-to-day, I think that's the same for DEI, and often they don't have the training in terms of bringing some of the more complex DEI concepts to life. But inclusive interactions are so important because it isn't just about making people feel good, you know, in that moment. They have such a long-lasting impact on engagement, belonging, and motivation, even if it is all indirect. Because I think going back to what we were just talking about, when people feel that their voice matters and that their work is recognized, they're going to be inherently motivated through those interactions and that recognition. But it's not just about what happens in one meeting or a feedback session. Employees need to see the changes in the way their manager acts every day, and managers need that learning and support to be able to have those interactions. And yeah, that could be, you know, in terms of how managers tackle their own biases or equitable interactions, these big concepts, but that boils down to how they handle a performance review or how they create a space where their teams can contribute. It's about showing that inclusion is part of how they operate and lead as managers. It's not just about box ticking. So it's all in the doing.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? That, you know, I'm sure what's on people want a manager's minds is, I've got to have this difficult conversation, and then they've got to think about, how do I do this inclusively, you know? But actually, if they naturally listen and get to know their teams more where possible and think about that think about their own biases, I guess that's kind of really going to help them to be prepared for that. You know, what are the key behavioural skills are we looking for managers to kind of positively influence their team's motivation then?
You mentioned difficult conversations there, and I think, you know, people can avoid difficult conversations because of the belief that, you know, they could damage a relationship, but actually the damage is in avoiding those conversations. And I think if managers are given the capabilities and, again, the support from the organization to handle them right, they're going to build trust within the organization. And managers need to see those difficult conversations as moments or chances where they can grow, but also the employee that they're interacting with. And the key is in terms of how they approach it. And it's about being open, explaining the impact, that communication that Will was just talking about, that listening, really understanding where the other person is coming from without having your own biases or assumptions. That's going to show that you're not just there to help fix things, but find the solution together. And I think that's where inclusivity becomes crucial. It's making that conversation fair, free from the biases that we've talked about, not assuming. And at the end of the day, I guess the goal is for managers to go into those conversations, think about how can we move forward together with the employee in mind.
Yeah. And interestingly, Dick, when you mentioned that, sort of, it's becoming easier and easier to support that at the point of need, isn't it? When you think someone, when is someone really going to have a reality check and think, actually, I need to prepare for this difficult conversation? It's probably not in a training session sort of a month beforehand. It's the night before, isn't it? And making sure they've got the resources they need to feel backed up on that. But also with technology, I mean, people can practice now. Even if you've got your own simple ChatGPT, you could set it up ahead of the conversation, play out a few scenarios and just feel a bit more prepared. Of course, there are more formal sort of learning tools that do that in a structured way. But it's, as I said, the technology can enable it in a way that, I guess, creating sort of virtual safe spaces where you know you can try a few things out without the severe consequences.
And that's so important, isn't it? Just like saying things out loud sometimes and just being able to help yourself with that is a good thing. Oh, I didn't quite think it was going to come out like that. All right, okay, I'll think about that in a different way. I want just another question for you both. Like, do we sometimes forget that managers are people and employees too? Because, you know, we talk a lot about what's on their plate and their shoulders, but, you know, they have managers above them as well. So surely this manager interaction could be influenced each way. Luke, I don't know if you've got a point of view on that.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really crucial for organizations to acknowledge in that the learning and development for managers and leaders that they're delivering, but also from an employee engagement perspective, managers are employees as well. And I think it shows, well, it builds so much trust when, you know, a manager is asked to have a difficult conversation, cascade some difficult and important comms to employees. It shows the trust when they can see that their leaders are role modeling the same behaviors as well. And I think, as well as what Will was saying, you can have these formal learning and development moments, but sometimes it is in the preparation the night before, how you see your own leader showing up, and you'll pick kind of the good habits, maybe sometimes the bad habits as well. But I think it's also in those interactions upwards as much as it is going downwards to your teams.
Yeah. And Will, you talked the other day with me about involving teams in personal development, and that goes both ways, right?
Yeah, exactly. So sort of going back to the point I made earlier about us not necessarily being fantastic at self-assessment, engaging your team in, okay, what do you want from me as a manager? It doesn't need to be a sort of hugely formalized process, but getting people used to giving that kind of feedback. And as Luke said, just having an honest conversation about what it is that you need and you can be supported with, I think goes a really long way to it. And interesting, like the point from just now about managers or sort of managers of managers being role models, I guess it opens another conversation around the concept of managing upwards as well, doesn't it? Around like what can you do to support your manager in being better if you are sort of maybe a bit what can you do to support your own manager in being better?
And I think that's really interesting, that dynamic, because within that, from an inclusive, equitable point of view, you're then breaking down some of these traditional hierarchies in management structures as well, aren't you? I think if you can create those environments where your employees can manage upwards and say, actually, I noticed this behavior, you know, isn't working, or this was really great, you know, it can be both positive and more constructive. again, you're opening those channels for communication. You're building that trust, but you're then developing yourself in the same right, whether you're a senior leader sat in the C-suite or, you know, a new manager of a team of one.
Are there any other sort of structural things that organizations can put in place to support managers in doing that more easily?
I think it's about, again, we talk about communication so much, but I think sometimes a lot can be said behind closed doors that people can learn from. So, you know, yes, it's those formal training moments for managers, but build a community for managers as well, you know, to learn from each other's experiences. I think there's so many structures and initiatives for managers that are in place that have a one-size-fits-all approach. And that's not the case. You know, every single person is different. So being able to have those conversations and learn from each other, they're going to be able to navigate a difficult conversation or how to communicate a certain message in more authentic and transparent ways, as we talked about at the beginning, rather than following, you know, a script or a manager's how-to guide. I think building those ecosystems and communities is really key.
Yeah, I've got a personal question here in terms of, like, what I worry about is people who are managers of teams, big teams, small teams, whatever, but people are remote, you know, and you don't have those day-to-day interactions with people. You know, how can managers manage that? I worry about the difficult conversations that people have on Zoom or on Teams or whatever it is, you know. Got any top tips for people on that space?
I think from my perspective, it's as we said and you called out again, Will, is understanding your team. So whether they are in the office sat next to you, whether they're remote, whether they're, you know, on the shop floor in a factory, it's understanding your people and knowing, you know, how they best, you know, absorb content, how they like to be treated, how they want to be interacted with, and then finding the right channels to do that. And again, kind of just not following script, you know, thinking about different ways to have those conversations. If someone's fully remote, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be over Zoom. Maybe you could go to that location, for example. It's just, I guess, being more thoughtful in terms of those interactions.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think, you know, where possible, sort of having an authentic discussion, you know, and being personable is probably the biggest thing people can do. And sometimes when we're in those difficult situations, those niceties, if you like, go away, right? But actually they're so important for just having human interactions with people and being open and honest with them.
And it sounds fluffy and it sounds quite simple, but I think it's so easy for us sometimes to fall back into routines and how everyone does something. And especially if something is a little bit new to us, or we don't feel as confident in terms of that interaction, we might fall back to a certain script. Whereas actually, if you can just go back to thinking, how do I make this interaction authentic, human, build that space for two-way dialogue, you are inherently going to motivate your employees.
Yeah.
So in that case, would it be fair to say that the approach would be to go into the dialogue with some kind of core principles of how to do it well, as opposed to this is what I do at the beginning, the middle, end kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I think certainly a tip from my perspective would be to draft your own principles, draft some reflective questions or things that you can think about going into that conversation to make it authentic, but allowing space to, you know, be agile and, you know, go off piece, as we say, rather than following something like a rule book or a checklist.
Go ahead, Paul.
I've got another question.
Will's taking my job. He's off.
Sorry. It's I guess that with difficult conversations, I mean, they come in many different sort of shapes and forms, obviously. That's the nature of them. What about sort of knowing when things need to be escalated? Because obviously there are some conversations that maybe are better done with someone other than the manager. Is that the role of the organization to teach them when to escalate them, or what's the sort of best practice there, do you think?
I think it's a really interesting question, because I suppose the natural way those situations are dealt with is it comes from the top and goes downwards, and you have nothing to, no influence in terms of how you can change that. You know, you have to have a difficult conversation. You have to have it for many managers. Whereas being able to, as we talked about before, manage upwards and say, actually, I'm not comfortable in terms of having this conversation, or I could do with some support in having this conversation, whether it's from HR or from your leader. Again, that's building that sense of trust and community. Mm. And the conversation can only be better from that if those two people can, as you say, Will, the night before, prep for that conversation rather than going in with a single point of view and a single outcome that they want to have as leaders in the conversation. Mm. You still need to have the employee at front of mind, but at least it's giving that manager that support. I think it's not being afraid to ask for that help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the flip side of that, you know, are managers good at giving good feedback to people? And actually, we're talking about difficult conversations, but I think people are equally as uncomfortable telling, you know, giving good feedback sometimes, you know, or kind of having those discussions. I think that would be interesting to see how we could add some learnings on that side, particularly us Brits. I think we're not very good at being very, you know, very crazy. So yeah, maybe other countries are. I don't know how you feel.
Well, we love a trip to Spain, don't we, Kath? And I think
we do.
There's something in that directness that, you know, managers can learn from. I think it isn't trying to go into those conversations full of idioms, mixed up, you know, phrases, trying to cover what the point of the conversation is. I think it's being direct upfront, whether it's positive or, you know, a challenging conversation. But I think that point on positive feedback is key, because yes, it's great to come from a manager, because as we've said, they're the closest to employees and probably one of the greatest sources of trust within an organization. A lot of leaders will be quite far removed from employees, but actually managers going out beyond their own ecosystem, beyond their own teams, to collect some of that feedback, if other teams are kind of cross-functional collaboration, that's always quite nice to bring those insights to employees as well, to recognize them.
Yeah.
But from a learning capabilities perspective, Will, I don't know if there's anything you would add there.
Yeah, to sort of build on what you said there, it also reinforces those positive behaviors, doesn't it? If you can celebrate it with an individual in a conversation, if you can celebrate it more widely, having examples of doing things really well, it's useful, isn't it? It's kind of going back to what we said at the beginning. Quite often people don't have a picture of what good looks like, and if that picture can be painted through authentic things that people have actually done, they're going to be relevant, they're going to be things that people can aspire to do themselves. Yeah.
And having a balance of those discussions has to be a good thing, right, for people's motivation. Then you know if it is a difficult conversation, that actually I know I've had very good feedback on these types of things. This is something I need to work on. So should make the dialogue a little better. Look.
I think there's something I was just thinking about as you were both talking, actually. We've talked about that preparation, and both of you, I don't know if you agree, but actually taking a moment after the fact to reflect, I think, is a really key learning moment as well. Whether that's a challenging conversation or just an interaction, and thinking what went well, what could I do better, I think is really key for managers to think about, because we so often don't give ourselves time to reflect and learn from that.
And also thinking from the employee's point of view as well, they might not, you know, they might be a reflector. They might think about things in a different way. So checking in afterwards, you know, have they heard you? Are there any more discussions that you should have? You know, I think sometimes we think, right, I've done that, I'm off, next thing, you know, but actually taking that time to check back in is probably going to be really important too. Will? Yeah,
and giving them a structure to do that as well, because quite often people find it difficult to give feedback because the questions asked are so broad, which are like, how good am I at managing? Kind of thing. You're not going to get quality. Whereas, as Luke said, maybe at the end of a conversation, if you've been working, I don't know, on coaching or something, and the point was to make it more about the person you're talking to, sometimes thinking, okay, what percentage of that conversation was me speaking versus them speaking? Make a note of it. Ask them the same question. And I've seen quite a lot in coaching programs that you see quite a big difference the first time you do that with people. They say, oh, they spoke loads. And then the person on the other side goes, well, it was my manager's normal lecture. So asking really targeted questions can be a good way to step into that realm of getting very useful feedback that you can act on.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to wrap up, but I have one last question for both of you. You've talked a lot about this topic, of course, all of us have, but what's your one key takeaway on how manager interactions can drive employee motivation? What would it be, Will?
That's a slightly different question from the wrap-up one that I was prepared to ask. Can I have a think about that, Kat?
You can. Key takeaway. Look.
I think we've mentioned so many things that managers can go away and think about, but I think it's important that managers know that motivation, well, leaders as well, isn't something that you can fix overnight. It's built over time. And I think every interaction, every conversation is a chance to either boost or impact motivation. And I think, as we've talked about, that prep piece is so key. And I was a huge fan of Cosmo magazines, you know, where you go through and you answer the questions and it's yes or no, and you get to that outcome. And maybe even building something similar to that, so that you can then have some consistency in terms of those interactions that you have, but put in some of those reflective questions as well. You know, how am I going into this conversation? How am I going to make this interaction fair? Did this interaction help my team feel valued and move forward? And if you can honestly answer most of those yes, then I think managers will be on the right track.
Okay.
Mm. And I'd echo Luke around that sort of self-awareness piece as well. That's the key. Whatever model you use off the back of it, if you're doing it, you're learning, you're asking people for feedback in a really useful way, you're going to be able to develop on that journey. And the other thing being, it's while it's a longer journey, it takes time to do, it's something you can start immediately, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're all going to talk to either one of our line reports or possibly have the opportunity to manage up today, tomorrow. So it's something we could all start immediately, even without sort of an organizational level change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure having this discussion with both of you, you know, some really key points to think about how we can strengthen manager interactions and, of course, employee motivation along the way. Some things I'll certainly take away from this discussion is around being clear about what good looks like for your people, your culture or organisation. And that might feel different depending on the organisation, which I think is important to think about. You know, making a plan for managers to really help them in an authentic way that's day to day. Don't make it part of something that feels, because it's already sounding a bit like more than my day job over here. So I think the big thing for me is thinking about how do we make sure that feels like actually this is really tangible, helpful stuff that I can get on with and start now. And then that listening piece, that involving your teams in personal development, managing up, managing down, managing sideways, you know, just talking to people, listening to people and reflecting on those, I think is really, really great advice for people listening on this. Thank you both. As always, an absolute pleasure. And if you want to know more about the report, you can visit the 41 website, 41.com. And of course, reach out to any of us if you have any questions on this topic. We'd love to chat more.